الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave servant and His messenger. This afternoon, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we would like to briefly discuss some of the important matters that a Muslim needs to be aware of in order that we might implement in our lives those things that are required of a Muslim on this special occasion of the Eid. Today being the 28th of Ramadan, inshaAllah, it means that it is very possible, if the month has 29 days, that tomorrow will be the last day of fasting and the following day, the Eid. For that reason, some of the brothers have suggested that we should have some discussion concerning the sunan of the Eid, or those matters that a Muslim should be attending to on the special occasion or the joyous occasion of the Eid. Before mentioning those matters which I have collected from various sources of the authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before mentioning those aspects of the sunnah that are established or confirmed in Islam as practices related to the day of Eid, I would like to remind myself and also to remind you that this month of Ramadan is a special time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen to favor the Muslims, those who obey Him and those who follow the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is a season in which a Muslim has the chance or the opportunity to gain much reward and forgiveness of one's sins and to get near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said in the Quran, وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ, that your Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He creates whatever He wills and He chooses. He chooses from amongst humanity who will be His prophets or messengers. And He chooses from amongst the angels who will do what assignment that He has assigned them with. And He chooses from amongst the days of the week or the months of the year or the places in the earth, those places that He has given a special merit to or excellence. He has chosen Mecca as a sacred city, and He has chosen Medina, and He has chosen the month of Ramadan, and so on. Indeed, the month of Ramadan, it is just about gone. That which is remaining of it is very little, and therefore we should be reminded, and everyone should take their own self into account, concerning the objective of Ramadan. What is the primary purpose of Ramadan, and have we achieved that objective? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that, O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed for you, as it was prescribed for those before you, that you may achieve taqwa. Every one of us needs to at least examine ourselves and look at our lives and to see, have we achieved that which is the objective that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly stated as the purpose of ordaining fasting on the people? It is to achieve a taqwa. Indeed, it is the main purpose of fasting, and it is also the general purpose of ibadah in general, that the worship of Allah, it is a means to achieve a taqwa, nearness to Allah, consciousness of Allah, in order to earn His pleasure. The Prophet ﷺ has mentioned in a hadith that has been rated as Hasan in the Sunan of Tirmidhi from Abu Huraira. Part of the hadith that is appropriate to our discussion this afternoon. رَغِمَ أَنْفُ رَجُلٍ دَخَلَ عَلَيْهِ رَمَضَانَ ثُمَّ انْسَلَخَ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُغْفَرَ لَهُ. رَغِمَ أَنْفُ يعني, it is an expression that is used to show that somebody has missed out on something or that they have lost. رَغِمَ أَنْفُ رَجُلٍ, the one who Ramadan has come, he is living in that time, Ramadan has come, and then Ramadan has gone without him having been forgiving. Without him having earned the forgiveness of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a number of hadith have mentioned the importance of Ramadan as a time in which forgiveness is granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from amongst those hadith is that whoever fasts Ramadan iman and wahtisaban, and whoever stands in the nights of Ramadan iman and wahtisaban, and whoever stands in the night of Laylatul Qadr iman and wahtisaban, غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَمِ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ, that he will be forgiven his previous sins. Therefore, this is an opportunity. The time remaining of Ramadan is little. However, we need to examine ourselves to see if we have achieved the objective of taqwa, and if any Ramadan has come and gone without us having earned Allah's forgiveness. As far as the Eid, the first point that I want to make concerning the Eid, it is related to a recent question that came to us, and it is, how do we determine when is the Eid? The basic rule for determining the Eid is by the sighting of the moon. The Prophet ﷺ ordered us to fast when we see it. Sumu bi ru'yatihi. Fast when you see it. And also break the fast when you see it. So that when we see the new moon, it is the end of the month, just as it is the sign of the beginning of the month, and therefore, we should fast or we should break our fast accordingly. However, there's differences amongst the people concerning whether or not we should begin fasting or we should end fasting based on a local sighting or an international sighting any place in the world or based on astronomical calculations. And this is a lengthy discussion which we don't have time to do at this time. However, the point that I want to make here is that what is considered is that the Muslim Ummah, we should try, if possible, to be together in oneness, yani in unity, as a community. However, if the whole Muslim world cannot be together, then at least locally the Muslims should try to be together. And for this reason, some of the great scholars of our time, such as Shaykh Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, have mentioned that there are two opinions concerning the sighting of the moon, whether it is local or international. However, the advice that was given to us is that if the people in one land, if they agree that they should go by an international sighting, then all of the people should follow the scholars in the conclusion that they reach and fast and break the fast together. And if they agree that it should be by a local sighting, then the people should begin and end together. And this is what is understood from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that is reported from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. And that hadith is Hasan. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "As-sawmu yawma tasumuna." That as-sawm, yani the beginning of the fasting, it is the day that you fast. Yawma tasumuna, yani you, meaning the people. When all the people begin, you should begin with them. Wal-fitru yawma tuftiruna. And the breaking of the fast, or the end of the month, it is the time when the people all together break the fast. Wal-adha yawma tudahuna. And the day of sacrifice, it is the day when the people sacrifice. In this hadith, as I said, it is Hasan, al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah, he said concerning this hadith that some of the scholars have explained it. And they said that the fast and the breaking of the fast is with the group, ma'al jama'ah. As-sawmu wal-fitru ma'al jama'ah, ma'al idham al-nas. It is with the group of people, with the masses of the people. Likewise, Al-Imam Al-San'ani, in his book, Subul Al-Salam, he has, yani in his explanation of Bulugh Maram, he has made a similar statement. He said that in this hadith mentioned from At-Tirmidhi, in that hadith he said, there is an indication that what is to be considered concerning the establishment of when is the Eid, it is al-muwafaqa lin-nasi. That we should be together with the people. Nobody should be alone, but they should be in agreement with the masses of the people. And that the one who singly alone knows the day of Eid by citing it, he saw it, but the people, they haven't accepted his citing, and therefore the people have not fasted or broken their fast accordingly. He said that one who is alone in having sighted the moon and his sighting is not accepted, then he is required to follow the rest of the people in their fasting and in their breaking of the fast and in their sacrifice. And he should be with the rest of the people, not alone. And likewise, the Shaykh Al-Mubarak Khoury, in his explanation of Sunan of At-Tirmidhi, he said that which is similar to it. He said it is said that the meaning of this hadith is that it is a means of informing, or it is an information that the people will be divided into groups and parties, and they will oppose the prophetic guidance, and there will be some of them who will act according to calculations, and there will be some of them who will begin their fast early, or they will go to stand at Arafat early, and they will make this as a sign to distinguish themselves from the other people, to separate themselves from the Muslims, and these people have deviated. And he said, there are some people who will remain on the prophetic guidance, and that is the group which will remain victorious, standing on the truth, and that is what is intended in this hadith by an-nas, yani being in agreement with the people, or fasting when the people fast, or breaking the fast when the people break their fast. He said, it is those people who are not following astronomical calculations, or those people who are not separating themselves from other Muslims, but they are those people who fast with the other Muslims. And he said, even if they are a small number, that means that what is considered here is following the correct way, following the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ, and staying with the group and not separating oneself individually from the rest of the people because of one sighting or because of some other reason that they have determined, yani when is the Eid. Therefore, what we understand from this is that the Prophet ﷺ intended that the people should fast together, and that they should break their fast together to the best of their ability, and nobody should separate from the larger body of the Muslims unless those people have deviated clearly from the Sunnah. The day of Eid is a day that has been chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the Muslims. It is reported in the Sunan of Nasa'i and the Sunan of Abu Dawud rahimahumullah from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, كان لكم, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he came to Medina and he found the people having two Eids or 2 days of celebration, he said to them, كَانَ لَكُمْ يَوْمَانِ تَلْعَبُونَ فِيهِمَا, that there were 2 days that you used to play or have fun or amusement or rejoice in those days. وَقَدْ أَبْدَلَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِهِمَا خَيْرًا مِنْهُمَا, but Allah has exchanged those 2 days for that which is better than them. Allah has taken those days, the Eid or the celebration of Jahiliyyah, and he has exchanged them and given 2 days which are better than them, Yawm al-Fitr wa Yawm al-Adha. These 2 days, the day of Fitr, after the fast of Ramadan, and the day of Adha, the day of sacrifice during the Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the one who has chosen them for the Muslims after they used to have other days of celebration in Jahiliyyah. That means these days are chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the wisdom behind them, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these days are days in which the Muslims are allowed to enjoy themselves with that which is lawful. And they also should be conscious of the fact that they are not days of fun and amusement alone, but they are also days in which people should do acts of obedience to get near to Allah, showing their gratitude to Allah for the favor that He has given them, either in making it easy for them to complete the fast of Ramadan, and therefore thanking Allah on the day of Eid that Allah has given them the success to complete that fast, or for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making it possible for them to complete the rites of Hajj and the sacrifice of Hajj and getting near to Allah through these matters. Therefore, on the day of Eid, it is a combination of relaxation and enjoyment while not forgetting the acts of obedience to Allah that one needs to do to get near to Allah and to show the appreciation for the success that Allah has given on these two great occasions, that is, the completion of these two pillars of Islam, the fasting of Ramadan or the pilgrimage to Mecca. These days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them preference over other days, and He has made them as days of celebration or festivity for the Muslims. And in these days, we see the appearance or the manifestation of the signs of Islam in the society amongst the Muslim people manifest. And we see the brotherhood of the Muslims in the congregating of the Muslims and coming together on the occasion of the Eid. We see a manifestation of the brotherhood of Islam. All of the people in any particular land coming together in one place, showing the oneness of the Muslim Ummah and the joining together of the hearts of the Muslims and their unity coming together for the sake of the support of Islam and raising the word of Allah, making it uppermost in the earth. Therefore, we should keep in mind also on this day that this day it is a manifestation of the unity of the Muslims and the brotherhood of Islam, and one should act accordingly on that day, keeping this in mind. Of those things that are clear as an aspect, a manifestation of the day of Eid, is that the day of Eid is not a day for fasting. It is a day when the Muslims are rejoicing. Therefore, it has been reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that hadith, which is reported by Al-Bukhari from Al-Bara ibn Azib radiyallahu anhu. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a talk to us on the day of Adha, a khutbah, after the salat. He gave the khutbah after the salat. فَقَالَ أَبُو بُرْدَى إِبْنِ نِيَارِ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِنِّي نَسَتُ شَاتِي قَبْلَ الصَّلَاةِ. He said, O Messenger of Allah, I have sacrificed my animal before the salat. وَأَرَفْتُ أَنَّ الْيَوْمَ يَوْمُ الْأَكْلٍ وَشُرْبٍ. And he said, I know, because I know that today, the day of Eid, is the day of eating and drinking. وَأَحْبَبْتُ أَنْ تَكُونَ شَاتِي أَوَّلَ مَا يُذْبَحْ فِي بَيْتِي. And I preferred, or I liked, that this animal of mine, which was precious and dear to him, that it should be the first thing that is sacrificed in my house. The scholars said concerning this hadith, that it is an indication that the day of Eid is a day of happiness and joy and rejoicing. In the words of the Sahabi who was mentioned in this hadith, he said that I have sacrificed this animal because I knew that today is the day of eating and drinking. It is a day of pleasure and enjoyment, and therefore, and the Prophet ﷺ has confirmed this and not spoken against what he has said, and this shows that the day of Eid, it is a day of relaxation and enjoyment and pleasure. Also, we should know that the Prophet ﷺ has confirmed for the women something special for them on the occasion of the Eid, and that is that on the occasion of Eid, the women are allowed to beat the duff, and they are allowed to sing amongst themselves, not in the presence of men. And therefore, the Prophet ﷺ has allowed Aisha radiallahu anha and her companions, who were young girls. When Aisha radiallahu anha, she was a young girl, and her companions were with her, and the Prophet ﷺ witnessed them beating on the duff and singing some songs, moral, clean songs. And the Prophet ﷺ didn't reject it, and he didn't rebuke them, but he allowed it. And that hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari from Aisha radiallahu anha. She said that دَخَلَ عَلَيَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَإِنِّي جَارِيَتَانِ يُغَنِّيَانِ بِغِنَاءِ بُعَافِ. That the Prophet ﷺ came to my place, and there were with me two young girls who were singing the songs of Bu'af, that is the songs of those days in which there was war between the Aus and Khazraj, the two tribes of the people of Medina. Then the Prophet ﷺ laid down on his bed and he turned his face away from them. At that time, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu entered and he scolded her. He scolded Aisha, his daughter, radiallahu anha, and he said to her, Mizmaratu al-Shaytan inda Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, the instrument of Shaytan in the presence of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. فَأَقْبَلَ عَلَيْهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَقَالَ دَعْهُمَا. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم turned towards him and he said to him, leave them. And don't bother with them. He allowed it. In another narration of that hadith, it is mentioned that Aisha رضي الله عنها said that Abu Bakr came to her while there were two young girls with her in the days of Mina, to Dafi Fani wa Sadri Bani. They were beating on the duff, and they were beating on this instrument. Then the Prophet ﷺ, after Abu Bakr said what he said, the Prophet ﷺ said to him, دَعْهُمَا يَا أَبُو بَكْرَ إِنَّهُمَا أَيَّامُ الْعِيدِ. He said, leave them, O Abu Bakr, these are the days of Eid. Meaning that in the days of Eid, it is different than other times. These are special days, and this is allowed. Yani, it is allowed for them to beat the duff. This is from the sunnah that has been approved by the Prophet ﷺ for the women, and therefore the women should engage in that to implement this sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Al-Imam Al-Baghawi rahimahullah, in his explanation of this hadith in his book Sharh As-Sunnah, he said, as for the singing that mentioned that which is corrupt and filthy, or open display of that which is unlawful and evil of speech, he said, this is the singing that is prohibited. Singing that consists of words of filth and corruption and evil and disobedience to Allah, this is what is prohibited. Otherwise, that which is clean and moral and that is based on Islam and that expresses the principles of Islam and the good things, then there's no harm on the day of Eid for the girls to sing or to beat on the duff. He said concerning the saying of the Prophet ﷺ in one of the narrations when he told Abu Bakr to leave them, he said, this is our Eid, هذا عيدنا. He said, here the Prophet ﷺ was excusing them. He was excusing them by these words, saying that this is our Eid, it is allowed for them to do so on this time. It is allowed for them to show, to openly show their happiness and joy on the days of Eid, as this is from the symbols or the signs of the deen, and these days of Eid are not like the other days. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar Asqalani, in discussing this very same hadith, he said that this hadith contained many benefits, and from amongst the benefits is that it is legislated that we should be easy and lenient with the children in the days of Eid, and allow them to engage in those things that are relaxing for the body, and that relieve them from the responsibility or the task that they have engaged in fasting during the month of Ramadan or in other ibadah. He said that in this hadith is a sign that happiness and joy on the days of Eid is one of the signs or the symbols or the manifestations of the deen of Allah. Here I would like to mention some of the things that have been reported from the Prophet ﷺ or from the Sahaba related to the actions that a Muslim should attend to on the day of Eid. A person should be careful of these things and try to implement them in one's life so that we will engage in those things that are from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially on this day of Eid. The first of them is al-ghusl qabla al-Eid or qabla al-salat. It is reported from Nafi'i أن عبد الله ابن عمر كان يغتسل يوم الفطر قبل أن يغدو إلى المصلى. يعني نافعي رحمه الله reported that عبد الله ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما that he used to take a ghusl, he used to take a bath on the day of al-fitr, on the day of Eid al-Fitr, before going out to the prayer grounds. And this has been reported by Imam Malik and Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i, and the isnad of this hadith is sahih. Likewise, it has been reported authentically from the Imam of the Tabi'een, Sa'id ibn Musayyib, rahimahullah, is saying, sunnatul fitri thalatha, that the sunnahs of Eid al-Fitr, they are three. Al-mashyu ila al-musalla, walking, going to the musalla, walking, wal-aqlu qabla al-khuruj, and eating before going out. This is specifically for Eid al-Fitr, that one should eat before going out to the Eid prayer on the occasion of Eid al-Fitr, as opposed to the Eid al-Adha, in which it is preferable and from the Sunnah that a person should not eat until after the Salat and after sacrificing the animal and eating from the sacrificial animal. He said that the Sunnahs of Fitr are three: al-Mashyu ila al-Musalla, walking to the prayer grounds; wal-Aqlu qabla al-Khuruj, and eating before going out; wal-Ightisal, and taking a bath. And this hadith has been mentioned also as being, as having an authentic chain of narrators. And it is said that this was also the opinion or the position of Abdullah ibn Umar, Ali ibn Abi Talib, from amongst Sahaba, Al-Qama, Urwa, Atta' and Al-Nakhi, from amongst the Tabi'een, and Imam Malik and Imam Shafi, from amongst the Imams. Perhaps some of the scholars said that perhaps the meaning here of the wording as-sunnah, that there are three sunnahs for the Eid al-Fitr, perhaps he means the sunnah of Sahaba, the way of Sahaba and their guidance, because in fact nothing has been authentically reported from the Prophet ﷺ himself concerning the ghusl on the day of Eid before the Salat. It has not been. There are hadith that have been narrated, a number of hadith have been narrated concerning the Prophet ﷺ taking a ghusl on the day of Fitr and the day of Adha. However, those hadith do not have authentic chains. So perhaps what is meant here by Sayyid ibn Musayyib and the others is that this was a sunnah of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, and as long as it is authentically reported from the companions radiallahu anhum ajma'in, then it is also yani proper for the Muslims to follow that sunnah. The second of the sunnahs, specific sunnahs of the day of Eid, it is adorning oneself with the best of one's clothing on the day of Eid. Adorning oneself with the best of clothing. It is reported from Jabir in the Sahih ibn Khuzaymah, كان للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جبة يلبسها في العيدين ويوم الجمعة. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to have a suit of clothing that he used to wear specifically on the two Eids and Yawm al-Jum'ah. Yani he used to wear those clothing for that day. It was the best of what he had, and he only used to wear it on that occasion. That means that a Muslim, on the day of Eid, should try to have something very nice and special for the day of Eid in terms of their clothing. And of course, it doesn't mean that every time there is an Eid that we have to buy new clothing. Yani he didn't say that he bought a new suit of clothing for every Eid, but he had something that was special for the Eid, and he used to wear it only for that special occasion. And therefore it shows the importance of adorning oneself on the day of Eid to distinguish that day from the other normal days of the week or of the year. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar Asqalani, in the explanation of Fath al-Bari, explanation of Bukhari, Fath al-Bari, he said, after mentioning discussion concerning this matter, Fa'idah, that there is a benefit that he wanted to mention here, and he said it has been reported from Ibn Abi Dunya and Al-Bayhaqi bi isnadin sahih ila Ibn Umar, yani that it has been reported by an authentic chain of narrations, mawquf, yani as they saying or a practice of a sahabi, that is Abdul Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, annahu kana yalbasu ahsanu thiyabihi fil eidaini, that on the two occasions of the Eid, he used to wear the best of clothing that he had. Whatever was the best that he had, that's what he used to wear on the days of Eid. It has also been reported from in Al-Bukhari and Muslim and the Kutub al-Sunan, from Salim, from his father, that is Abdul ibn Umar, the saying of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, concerning a suit of clothing that he had, which was made from silk brocade, and it was in the souq. He said, Ya Rasulullah, ibta' hadhihi fatajammal biha lil'idi wal-wufud. Yani some of the scholars said the meaning of this statement, there's different opinions concerning it, but some of them said that it was a question that Umar radiallahu anhu, he was asking, O Messenger of Allah, shall I buy this, meaning this suit of clothing, so that you may adorn yourself with it on the day of Eid and the day or the days or the occasions when delegations come to you, yani shall I buy this for you so you will have something special, something outstanding to wear on special occasions. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar Asqalani said concerning this, that the Prophet ﷺ has agreed with the idea that it is allowed to have some special clothing for special occasions. He didn't rebuke Umar radiallahu anhu for this idea that he has expressed. However, what he has rebuked him concerning is in the end of the hadith, he said the Prophet ﷺ told him that this type of clothing that is made from silk, it is not the clothing of the people of Iman or the people who have some portion of the in the hereafter. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam rejected the idea of those particular clothing. However, he didn't reject the idea of having some special clothing for the day of Eid or for special occasions. Also, in the explanation of similar hadith in the Sunnah al-Nasai al-Sindi, al-Allama al-Sindi, rahimahullah, he said, the statement of Umar, فَتَجَمَّلْ فِيهَا لِلْعِيدْ, that you will adorn yourself with this clothing for the Eid. He said, from this we know that adorning oneself on the day of Eid, it was a practice, a common practice amongst them at that time, and the Prophet ﷺ did not rebuke him for doing so. From this we know that that practice continued. It wasn't something from Jahiliyyah that he was suggesting to the Prophet ﷺ that was condemned in Islam, but it was a common practice amongst them, and the Prophet ﷺ allowed it to continue. Also, of the matters, specific matters related to the Eid, is that which we mentioned previously under the point of taking a ghusl, or the statement of Sa'id al-Musayyib concerning taking a ghusl on day of Eid. Yani he said, Sunnat al-Fitr thalatha, al-mashi ila al-musalla wal-akl qabla al-khuruj. Yani the second of those things that he mentioned of the sunnahs of Eid al-Fitr, he says, eating before going out to the prayer grounds. Yani before going to the place where the prayers will be performed, it is from the sunnah for the Eid al-Fitr. Not for Eid al-Adha, but for Eid al-Fitr, it is from the sunnah that a person should eat before going out to the prayer grounds. It has been specifically reported from Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, in the hadith reported by al-Bukhari, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كَانَ لَا يَغْضُ يَوْمَ الْفِطْرِ حَتَّى يَأْكُلَ تَمَرَاتِ وَيَأْكُلَهُنَّ وِطْرًا, that the Prophet ﷺ would not go out on the day of Fitr. Yani he would not go out for the prayer to the prayer grounds until he had eaten some dates. And in one of the narrations it is said that he used to eat them in an odd number, and an odd number of dates. So this is also from the Sunnah that a person on the day of Eid al-Fitr, they should eat before going out. And the preferable thing to eat from the Sunnah is a tamr, dates, and they should be eaten in an odd number. Also, it is from the Sunnah, as opposed to what we find in many countries today, that the Eid Salat, it should be in the Eid grounds, not in the masjid. And the scholars of Sunnah have mentioned this as al-khuruj ila al-musalla, meaning that a person should go out, yani out of the main part of the city, to the outskirts of the city, to a place that has been designated for the Eid Salat, so that all of the people in the locality would pray together. Not every people praying as they normally do in their local masjids. Or even, yani, as we find in some places, the people are praying in their local Eid prayer ground, but there are so many of them that even the people who live near one another have a choice to pray in two or three different places, which means instead of the people praying together, that they will still be separated. But from the sunnahs of the Prophet ﷺ is to go out to the outskirts of the city, to a place that has been designated for the prayer, to pray, for all the people to pray together. It has been reported in the Sahihain, yani al-Bukhari and Muslim, from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiallahu anhu, he said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يخرج يوم الفطر والأضحى إلى المصلى, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, that he used to go out, yani outside of the city, on the day of Fitr and Adha, the Eid of Fitr and Eid al-Adha, to the Musalla, to the prayer grounds. فَأَوَّلَ شَيْءٍ يَبْدَأُ بِهِ الصَّلَاةِ, and the first thing that he would begin with is the Salat. He used to pray, and then after the prayer of Turaqa, then the people have the option to remain or to leave and listen to, yani to remain and listen to the khutbah, or to leave. Also from the sunnahs of the day of Eid is that which was mentioned in the previous report of Al-Imam Sa'id al-Musayyib, rahimahullah, the sunnah al-fitr are three, al-mashyu ila al-musalla, yani walking to the prayer ground, if one is able. And as long as the prayer ground is in a place that is of reasonable distance, then the sunnah is that a person should walk to the prayer ground and not ride. And whoever is able, this is from the sunnah and it is rewardable. It has also been reported in the sunnah of At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah with a chain that is hasan, من السنة فمع علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه من السنة أن تخرج إلى العيد ماشيا. يعني that it is from the sunnah that a person goes out to the Eid grounds for the Eid prayer walking. It is from the sunnah. So whoever is able to do so, then it is a praiseworthy act. Concerning this walking to the Eid prayer, Al-Imam al-Shawkani in his book Nadal Al-Awtar, he said that most of the scholars held this opinion, that it is mustahab, that it is commendable that a person should walk to the Eid grounds for the Eid prayer. And from amongst the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, he said those who held this opinion was Umar ibn al-Khattab and Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhuma. And from amongst the Tabi'een, Ibrahim al-Nakhai and Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. And from amongst the Imams, Sufyan al-Thawri, al-Shafi, Ahmed and others, rahimahumullah. So this shows يعني, that from amongst the sunnahs of Eid, whoever can implement it, then it is better to walk than to ride. Likewise, from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ concerning the day of Eid, is that the way that a person takes in going to the Eid ground, they should not come back the same way. Yani they should return from the Eid grounds to their home by a different route than they have taken going. And it has been reported from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. He said, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا خرج إلى العيد يرجع في غير الطريق الذي خرج فيه. That whenever he used to go out to the Eid, he used to return by a road other than the road that he has gone out upon. And that is reported in the Sahih Muslim and the Muslim of Imam Ahmed and others. Likewise, it has been reported by Imam Muslim on the authority of Jabir ibn Abdullah رضي الله عنهما. He said, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا كان يوم العيد خالف الطريق. That on the day of Eid he used to take a different road. He used to يعني come back from a different road than he has taken going. Also from the sunnahs of Eid that have been abandoned today in many lands, unfortunately, and we want to encourage this sunnah to be practiced, to be brought back to life, and it is the sunnah of participating on the day of Eid, at the Eid grounds, the participation of women. The Prophet ﷺ emphasized the women to participate in going out to the Eid ground on the day of Eid to the extent that even those women who are not allowed to pray, he has also ordered them to go out to the Eid ground while staying away from the actual place of prayer, but he has ordered them also to go out to the Eid ground. That's how important it is. But those who are not praying, also he has told them to come. Therefore, those who prohibit the women or discourage them from going out to the Eid ground, they are opposing the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It has been reported authentically from Hafsa radiallahu anha. She said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ordered ليخرج العواتق وذوات الخدور والحيد ليشهدنا العيد ودعوة المسلمين وليعتزل الحيد المصلى. That those women who are of the age of puberty, even though they are not married, and those virgin girls, and those who are married women, yani who are at the age of menstruation, he said they should go out and participate on the day of Eid in order to join in with the Muslims in their supplication. And also he said that those who are in menses, yani they should not actually sit in the place where the prayer is performed. However, they are expected to go out, and it has also been reported similarly from others that the Prophet ﷺ that he ordered them أخرجوا, يعني to, he ordered them to go out to participate on the day of Eid. And this order, some of the scholars said that it is means that it is obligatory, and some said that it means that it is highly recommended. So that the women should go out to the Eid prayer, those who are not able to pray should at least يعني, witness that occasion and be with the Muslims on that occasion and join in and get the benefit of the supplication of the Muslims on that day and the joy of the occasion. Also of the sunnahs of the day of Eid that has been neglected almost totally in almost every land It is the takbir of Eid. This is a sunnah that we almost do not find it in any land whatsoever in the Muslim lands. I have only been in one country in the Muslim world where I have seen the takbir of Yawm al-Eid being openly practiced by the people marching through the streets saying the takbir of Eid. I have only seen it in one country in my life. And Allahu a'lam, yani Allah only knows if it is practiced in other countries. However, it is a sunnah that has been established by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it has been to a great extent, if almost not totally, it has been yani neglected in the Muslim world today. It has been legislated that one should say the takbir, Allahu Akbar, declaring the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the time of the setting of the sun on the night of the Eid, yani the night preceding the day of Eid. From the time of the setting of the sun until the performance of Salatul Eid. And this is based upon the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَلِتُكَمِّلُوا الْعِدَّةِ وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. That it is expected or it is required that we complete the number. وَلِتُكَمِّلُوا الْعِدَّةِ, yani to complete the number of days. If anybody has missed any of the days of Ramadan, they should complete them. وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ, and that we should glorify or mention the praise, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what He has guided us to. وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, that perhaps you may be thankful. It has been reported from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, yani as a statement of a sahabi, from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and it is reported in the Musannaf of Ibn Abi Shayba with an authentic chain of narrations that he used to say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd. Yani Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he used to say these words as the takbir of the day of, on the day of Eid. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd. There are other narrations from other companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that are authentic and some that are not authentic. However, the most authentic of them is this, the words of Abdul ibn Mas'ud, and that which has been reported similarly with an authentic chain from Abdul ibn Abbas, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd, Allahu Akbar wa ajal, Allahu Akbar ala ma hadana. And if these two narrations are authentically reported from two of the most knowledgeable and close companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is expected that from amongst these words that the Muslims should openly, loudly, in the souq, in the home, in the streets, on the night of Eid, from after the setting of the sun until the performance of the Eid Salat, we should use these words, and in showing the greatness of Allah and praising Allah and acknowledging our gratitude to Him for the success and the victory that He has given. Concerning the Salat of the day of Eid, it is of the most important matters of the Sunnah for the day of Eid. And there, even if there is some difference of opinion concerning the ruling concerning the Salat of Eid, yani the legal, yani ruling concerning it, some scholars said that it is Fard al-Ayn, and this is the opinion of Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, and it is also one of the two sayings of Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, and in a narration from Imam Ahmed, rahimahumullah, may Allah have mercy on all of them, that it is Fard Ayn on every one of the Muslims who is praying that they must attend the Salat al-Eid. The evidences concerning this are many. From amongst them is that the Prophet ﷺ has ordered even those who are not praying to go out to witness the Salat. What about those who are praying? Then are they not required to participate in the Salat? And the Prophet ﷺ, throughout his life until his passing, he used to perform that prayer, and this is also of the proofs yani, that have been mentioned concerning this. As for the description of Salat al-Eid, it has been reported in the Kutub al-Sunan with an authentic chain in the Sunan of Abu Dawud and Ibn Majah, as well as in the Musnad Imam Ahmed from Aisha radiallahu anha, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yukabbiru fil fitri wal adha fil ula bi sab'i takbirat. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to make the takbir 7 times. in the Salat of Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha, he used to make the takbir 7 times in the first rak'ah, and this is excluding takbiratul ihram, and in the second rak'ah, وَفِي الثَّانِيَ خَمْسًا سِوَى تَكْبِيرَتَيْ الرُّكُوْ. Yani this is not counting the takbir for ruku, and it is also, as in some of the other narrations, not including the takbiratul ihram. Yani he used to make specifically 7 or 5 extra takbirs in the 2 rak'ah of Salat al-Eid, 7 in the first rak'ah, and 2 or 5 in the second rak'ah. And it is takbir should be made before the recitation of Qur'an. It has been reported from Amr ibn Shu'ayb, from his father, from his grandfather, that he said, كَبَّرَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي صَلَاةِ الْعِيدِ سَبْعًا فِي الْأُولَى ثُمَّ قَرَعَ ثُمَّ كَبَرَ فَرَقَعَ ثُمَّ سَجَدَ ثُمَّ قَامَ فَكَبَرَ فَكَبَّرَ خَمْسًا ثُمَّ قَرَعَ ثُمَّ كَبَّرَ فَرَقَعَ ثُمَّ سَجَدَ. Yani he said that the Prophet ﷺ made the takbir in the Salat al-Eid, 7 of them in the first rak'ah, then he read, yani from the Qur'an. Then he made takbir and performed ruku, and then sajda. Then he stood up and he made takbir 5 times, and then he read from the Qur'an and made takbir and made ruku and made sajda. And this is reported in the Sunan of Abu Dawud and Ibn Majah and the Musnad of Imam Ahmed with a chain of narration that is Hassan. To them, when he said most of the scholars, it means that there are some who don't hold this opinion. Yani there's difference of opinion concerning this matter. However, Al-Imam al-Baghawi, rahimahullah, he said that this is the opinion of most of the scholars, from amongst Sahaba and those who came after them, that the Prophet ﷺ used to make takbir and Salat al-Eid in the first rak'ah 7 times, not including takbir al-iftitah. Yani he said that he used to make takbir in Salat al-Eid fil ula 7 siwa takbirat al-iftitah. Yani not including the opening takbir, takbirat al-tahrim. And in the second, وَفِي الثَّانِيَ خَمْسًا سِوَى تَكْبِيرَ الْقِيَامِ. Yani that he used to make 5 takbirs, yani extra takbirs, not including the takbir of standing up for the next rak'ah. And this used to be done before the reading or recitation of Qur'an. And this has also been reported from Abu Bakr and Umar and Ali, and Abdul ibn Umar and Abdul ibn Abbas and Abu Huraira and Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, from amongst Sahaba, and al-Zuhri, and Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, from amongst the Tabi'een, and from amongst the Imams, al-Imam Malik, and al-Imam al-Shafi, and al-Imam Ahmed, and others, including al-Awza'i, and Ishaq ibn Rahuway, and others. This is mentioned by al-Imam al-Baghawi in Sharh Sunnah, concerning, after the mention of these hadith, that the description of the takbir of the Prophet ﷺ in Salat al-Eid is that he used to make 7 takbir, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, 7 times, not including the opening takbir. And in the second rak'ah, not including the takbir for standing up for the second rak'ah, he used to make 5 extra rak'ah. And 7 in the first rak'ah and 5 in the second rak'ah. Concerning the dhikr or dua, or what was mentioned between the takbir, it is said that there is nothing authentically reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani that he used to mention some particular words in between the takbirs. However, it has been confirmed from the Sahabi Abdul ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu in the Sunan of Al-Bayhaqi with a sanad that is jayyid. He said أنه قال عن صلاة العيد بين كل تكبيرتين حمد لله عز وجل وثناء على الله. Yani between every 2 takbirs, every time he said Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, between those 2 takbirs, that one should praise Allah and glorify Him. This has been reported authentically from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And as we said, there has not been anything with a sahih chain of narration reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Imam ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, said that the Prophet ﷺ used to remain silent between every 2 takbirs, a brief period of silence. That is confirmed from the Prophet ﷺ. However, we have not memorized anything from him saying something particular in between these 2, between the takbirs. Yani there's nothing that has been reported authentically of what he used to say. However, it is authentic that he used to pause in between every two takbirs. And Abd ibn Mas'ud, he said that what should be done there is that one should praise Allah and glorify Him. As for what is prayed before the salat and after the salat, Ya rahmakallah. As for what is prayed before the salat and after the salat al-Eid, it is reported from Abdul ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prayed on the day of Fitr, Yawm al-Eid al-Fitr, two rak'ah, and he didn't. لَمْ يُصَلِّ قَبْلَهَا وَلَا بَعْدَهَا. And he didn't pray any voluntary prayers or sunnah prayers before or after the Eid salat. This is reported by al-Bukhari. And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nor his sahaba, none of them used to pray anything when they reached the Eid grounds, not before the salat nor after it. And al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani says that what we conclude from this is that salat al-Eid, nothing is confirmed that there should be any prayer, any sunnah prayer prayed before it or after it. Likewise, concerning the salat al-Eid, there is no adhan and there is no iqamah for the two Eid prayers, as it has been reported from Jabir ibn Samura radiallahu anhu. He said, I prayed with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the two Eids more than once, or not even more than twice, and there was no adhan nor any iqamah, reported by Imam Muslim. Abdul ibn Abbas and Jabir, both of them radiallahu anhum, they said there was no adhan on the day of Eid al-Fitr or on the day of Adha. Yani there was no adhan for the salat. And this is reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim. Also of the sunnahs, yani of that which remains, yani of the important sunnahs of the day of Eid, is congratulating or greeting one another. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahimahullah, he said that it has been reported with a hasan chain of narrators from Jubair ibn Nufair, radiallahu anhu, he said, rahimahullah, he said, كان أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا التقوا يوم العيد يقول بعضهم لبعض تقبل الله منا ومن. يعني that the companions of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, when they used to meet one another on the day of Eid, they used to say, some of them used to say to others, تقبل الله منا ومنك, may Allah accept from us and from you. Ibn Qudama, Al-Imam Ibn Qudama, in his book Al-Mughni, he said that Al-Imam Ahmed said that this chain of narration, it is sahih, that it has been reported that one of the companions, he said, one of the tabi'een, he said, كُنْتُمَا أَبِي أُمَامَ الْبَاهِلِي وَغَيْرِهِ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَكَانُوا إِذَا رَجَعُوا مِنَ الْعِيدِ يَقُولُ بَعْدُهُمْ لِبَعْدِ تَقَبَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنَّا وَمِنْكَ. That he said, I was with one of the companions of the Prophet, Abu Umama al-Bahili, and others from amongst the companions of the Prophet, and whenever they used to return from the Eid ground, yani after the Eid prayer, they used to greet one another with these words, تقبل الله منا ومنك. And because of the time, we will stop here, and I will just mention as a last point concerning the matters of the Sunan of Eid, one of the most important of those matters of Eid, and it is Zakat al-Fitr. The hadith concerning this are many, and the discussion concerning it requires yani a full lecture because of the difference of opinion concerning it. However, some of the hadith, we can mention just a couple of them quickly. From amongst them is that which is reported from Abdul ibn Umar. قَالَ فَرَضَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ زَكَاةَ الْفِطْرِ صَاعًا مِنْ تَمْرٍ أَوْ صَاعًا مِنْ شَعِيرٍ عَلَى الْعَبْدُ وَالْحُرِّ وَالذَّكَرُ وَالْعُنْثَى وَالصَّغِيرُ وَالْكَبِيرُ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. He said that the Prophet ﷺ has made obligatory Zakat al-Fitr as a sa'a. He has made it obligatory, he has legislated as an obligation that it should be distributed as a sa'a, a measure, a certain measure of volume from dates or from barley. It is obligatory on the slave as well as the free male and female, young and old, from amongst the Muslims. And he has ordered us to distribute it before the people go out for the salat, for the salat al-Eid. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu said, كنا نخرج في أهدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم الفطر صاعا من طعام. وقال أبو سعيد وكان طعامنا الشعير والزبيب والعقد والتمر. رواه البخاري. He said, we used to distribute in the time of the Messenger of Allah, يعني السحابة, He said, we used to distribute in time of the Messenger of Allah on the day of Fitr a sa' from food. And he said our food at that time was barley or dates or baked dry, leaven. It is dried and baked and yogurt, naam, and dates. Yani that in the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sahaba, they used to distribute a sa' from their food, not otherwise. And the last hadith is the hadith of Abu Zayd ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhuma, farada Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam zakat al-fitr, tuharatan lil-sa'im min al-lagwi wal-rafath, wa tu'matan lil-masakin man ada'a qabla al-salat fahiyya zakat al-maqbula, wa man ada'a ba'da al-salat fahiyya sadaqatun min al-sadaqat, report of Abu Dawud and Ibn Majah and others, that the Messenger of Allah has made obligatory the zakat al-fitr, tuhra lil-sa'im, as a purification for the fasting person from any senseless, useless speech or obscene speech. وَتُعْمَةً لِلْمَسَاكِينَ, as a food for the poor people. Whoever has distributed before the salat, then it is an acceptable zakat, and whoever has distributed after the salat, then it is only a voluntary charity. And in this hadith is clear that the Prophet ﷺ has made zakat al-fitr. What is this purpose? As a purification for the fasting person from what he has fallen short in his fast, and as a means of food for the poor people. And it is clear that it was only giving as food in the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and therefore this is the best thing that can be done, even if some say that it is allowed to give the people money as they might be more in need of it, and Allah knows best. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Is there any questions? We have some dates here. If there's any questions or comments or corrections until we hear the adhan, maybe we can take one question or so. If somebody hears the adhan, let us know. Open the window. Naam. As for raising the hands in the salat for the takbirat, the Eid prayer, there's difference of opinion about it. There's nothing confirmed from the Prophet ﷺ, but it is authentically reported from Abdullah ibn Umar. So it is better that one do it, and Allah knows best. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Zakra. Now? In Alexandria, Egypt. Walaykum As-salam. Just one more. Naam, concerning the brother's question, can the zakat al-fitr, can it be given out before the end of Ramadan? What has been authentically reported from the Prophet ﷺ is that the zakat al-fitr, it should be distributed before the Salat al-Eid. So some scholars said, the meaning of this, it should be distributed before the Salat al-Eid. It means that the time that it should be distributed, the best time, is in the morning before Salat al-Eid. However, it is permissible once the fast of Ramadan is finished, meaning the last day of Ramadan, at the time of Maghrib, when the moon is sighted for the first of Shawwal, that means Ramadan is finished. From that time, from Maghrib, it is also permissible to distribute it. So the best time is in the morning before the Salat al-Eid, or in the evening after Salatul Maghrib, on the night of the Eid, the night preceding the Eid. And it has also been authentically reported in the Sahih that they used to distribute the zakat al-fitr in the time of the Prophet ﷺ 1 or 2 days before the Eid. Therefore, the correct opinion concerning this is that it is permissible to distribute the zakat al-fitr 1 or 2 days before the Eid. And it is preferable to distribute it the night of the Eid, the night preceding the Eid, or in the morning after the dawn before the Salat al-Eid. Now. Any other comments? Now? The prayer? The number of raka for the night prayer in Ramadan? The number of raka, that is a long discussion, Akhi. We have discussed it before. The number of raka of the prayer in Ramadan, it is... Yeah. There's no foundation for what they're doing. That is not so. That is not so. There's difference of opinion about the matter. There's no doubt, Akhi, that the most common practice of the Prophet ﷺ in the night prayer, not specific to Ramadan, but always, he used to pray most of the time 11 rak'ah. However, it is true that he has prayed less and he has prayed more. It is authentically reported in the Sahih Bukhari from Aisha and also from Abdullah ibn Abbas that he prayed 13 rak'ah. And it is reported in the Kutub al-Sunan, all of them, that he has prayed 9 rak'ah or 7 rak'ah or less than that. Therefore, the number of the rak'ah is not specified that it is 11. But it was his most common practice. And Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani in the explanation of the hadith of Aisha, that the Prophet ﷺ never prayed more than 11 rak'ah in Ramadan or outside of Ramadan. He has discussed it in detail and he has explained that it means it was his common practice. And the proof of it is that she has also narrated that he prayed 13 rak'ah. And Abdul ibn Abbas has narrated that he prayed 13 rak'ah. And other Sahaba have narrated that he prayed less than 11 rak'ah. That means his common practice was 11. Therefore, whoever prays 11 rak'ah, in order to follow the common practice of the Prophet, praying those rak'ah with long recitation of the Qur'an, as he used to pray, and long ruku and long sajda, that is the way of the Prophet. As for whoever says, pray 11 rak'ah, but pray them the way people are praying today, with reciting 5 verses of Qur'an or 10 verses of Qur'an, and making ruku in 1 second and sajda in 1 second, that is not the way of the Prophet. We cannot say that the sunnah of the Prophet is 11 rak'ah. But the sunnah of the Prophet is to pray the prayer long. Long recitation, long sajda, long ruku, and mostly he used to pray 11 rak'ah. But the sunnah is not limited to a number. It is specifically how he prayed. And nobody is paying attention to how he prayed, but we are only looking at the number. And the number is not specified. And when Abdullah ibn Umar narrated the hadith in Sahih Muslim, that a man came to the Prophet ﷺ, asked him how to perform the night prayer, he did not say 11 rak'ah. He did not say you cannot pray more than 11 rak'ah, or you have to pray 11 rak'ah. But he said, pray it mathna mathna. Pray it by twos. That is the way of the night prayer. The Prophet ﷺ has been asked, and he has informed us how to pray it by twos. He didn't say you have to pray at least 11, or not more than 11, or not less than 11. He said, pray by two, and if you fear the dawn, then pray one rak'ah with him. That is the night prayer of the Prophet ﷺ. However, if somebody made more than that, they have done it in time of Sahaba, Allahu A'lam, but it has been reported from many of the scholars that they have done it in time of Sahaba, and they have done it in time of Tabi'een, and they have done it in Mecca and Medina and other lands, they have prayed more than 11 rak'ah. And Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah has discussed it in detail. In a long discussion concerning this, he said that whoever prays the prayer with the less number of rak'ah, 11, then they should make the recitation longer. And whoever prays with more number of rak'ah, then they should make the recitation shorter. And the number of rak'ah was increased because of the length of recitation, how they used to recite in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. So if we want to keep the number less, we should make the recitation long, as they used to do. The Prophet ﷺ recited in one rak'ah in his night prayer on one occasion. He recited Surah Al-Baqarah, then Surah Al-Nisa, then Surah Ali Imran, in that order. Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Al-Nisa, and then Surah Ali Imran, in one rak'ah. So if we pray the prayers he has prayed it, then no problem, you will not pray more than 11. You will not be able to pray more than 11, because the night will be finished before you reach 11. You see? So, actually, the matter is not limited, as some scholars have said. That is their opinion. But really, the stronger opinion is that the matter is not limited to 11. The Prophet ﷺ have not limited. He has not said, only pray 11. He has not, and he himself has not only prayed 11. Therefore, we cannot constrict or refine or confine that which the Prophet ﷺ have left open. He has left the matter open. He said two by two. That means he has left the number open. Therefore, we cannot close it. It is not our right to close what he has left open. So it is better that we pray 11 in the way he has done it. And whoever prays more than that, we should not blame them. We should not blame them. We should not argue with them, and we should not fight against them. If we pray 11, alhamdulillah, If the Imam prays 11 and he prays slowly and calmly with proper recitation, that is better. Because if it is the common practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is better than something else. However, if somebody prays more, then we shouldn't dispute the matter and make something out of it. And Allah knows. Naam. No doubt, we are not disputing this matter. We are not disputing that 11 is better. 11 is better, there is no doubt about it. Nobody can dispute it. Naam, it is better that we make our common practice 11. Nobody can dispute it. Whatever they are doing in Mecca and Medina, we don't care about it. But what we are saying is that we cannot say it is haram to pray more than 11. But to say that it is better to pray 11 and that should be out, Naam, that is correct, for sure. It is correct. Allahu Akbar.